Let's go to the book of Genesis while you're standing, and I want to read to you. I want to teach you. I just want to talk to you tonight. Every once in a while, I get in that talking mode just to talk to you. And go to Genesis 37 and 3. Now Israel, this is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And I might add, he was Rachel's son. And he made him a coat of many colors because he loved him, not just the son of his old age. That wasn't it. It really was because he loved him that he made him, loved him more than the others. He made a coat for him. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they did just the opposite. They did just the opposite. Isn't it amazing how two people can see the same thing, be in the same family? And they hated him and could not speak peaceably upon him. I mean, there wasn't anything good. He couldn't chew right, spit right, nothing he could do. And when you get against somebody, there's nothing they do right. I know here when people get against me, you might as well leave because there's nothing I'm going to do right. Not a thing. You'll be against me in everything I do. And then we look at verse 37 and 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, had a couple dreams, you know the story. They stripped Joseph out of his coat. Did you catch it? They just think about that. They stripped him. Am I reading this right? They stripped Joseph out of his coat. They didn't strip the coat off of Joseph. They stripped Joseph out of the coat, thinking that would put an end to it. His coat of many colors that was on him. It wasn't, they're making sure you understand, this is the coat his daddy made, not just any coat. And they took him without his coat, cast him into the pit. Looks like all the favor's gone. Looks like, you know, we solved the problem by taking the coat. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Either it was an old well or maybe a pit that used to hold water, but it makes mention there was no water in it. I want to preach to somebody tonight and tell you this. Don't worry about the coat. Don't worry about the coat. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm so thankful for an opportunity to talk to the sheep of your pastor. Glory to God, I ask you that you give us the words of wisdom that we need, God, that each and every one of us could walk out of here tonight better than we came in, and realize that the things of this world are temporal and the things of God are eternal. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I feel for my wife tonight. Her brother has smoked all his life, you know, basically. And when this came upon him, it's just one day you're weak and the next day you're on death row. You just, you know, all of a sudden you're fine, and you get weak and you go in like, what's wrong? And then boom, you got 3 or 4 months to live. And, you know, in our carnal ways, we'd want to say, well, that's what you get for smoking them cigarettes. That's what you get. But I'm telling you, God will take people to death's door that's been wicked all their lives and save them. See, that's not man's way. That's God's way. But the thief on the cross said, I deserve what I'm getting, Lord. And he said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because you believe in me. And right there on that cross, he said, I'm going to see you today in paradise. God can change any situation. And it's just like I was telling you, he'll spring it on you. He springs it on you. And he's like, man, I didn't see that coming. And so I ask you to continue to pray for him tonight. And others that have been sick among us, Brother Cercello, I pray for you daily in your situation, and I appreciate you and your family being here. Tonight, they're trying to find out, they're trying to ordain somebody to be a Republican candidate as they vote tonight. They're trying to ordain somebody to fulfill that, and then we'll try to ordain somebody to be the president. But you can never ordain what God has not foreordained. You'll get a choice in the matter, but only what God has foreordained will come to pass. And so whatever it is, we live with it, we go on, because God, the Bible says, there is no power that be, but that is ordained of God. So you can fight it if you want to, but you got to vote. You cast your vote in a godly way. And I don't tell people how to vote, but I say you better vote on morals and things of this nature, because that's how God's going to judge you. It's not whether you get a check in your pocket. That's not, he's going to judge you harshly with that. It's going to be whether or not the best candidate you can find morally. That's a difficult job, I understand. That's a difficult job, but we still have our obligation. The Bible says that judgment begins where? So it begins tonight. It begins tonight. Judgment, see, you can walk out here different than you walked in. You can be free tonight just from walking in, and God can change your life. Judgment can be final tonight. The Bible says that some men's sins go ahead of them to the throne. Others follow behind. If you bring them to church with you, not church isn't the only place. The house of God's wherever you make it. But the house of God is a place where judgment begins. It is the court of God and not man's court. Judgment is always based upon relationship. When you judge something, you're always judging something between something, whether it was right or wrong, or who was right or wrong, or what they did. The judgment is not a one thing, it's a comparison of things. And judgment will always come to a determination based upon comparing one thing to another. And God's judgment is no different. It's based upon righteousness or unrighteousness, truth or error. He said, you're either gathering together with me or you're scattering abroad. I'm going to judge you on two things. How you treated your neighbor, you see? That's how I'm going to treat you. How you treated your brother and sister, that's how I'm going to judge you on that. And man's judgment is solely based upon the actions of a man, whereas God's judgment is based upon the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, we judge each other based upon our actions, but God judges us based upon our intentions. But we judge ourselves based, well, I didn't mean to do that. No, that's what you did, they'll say, right? And we judge each other by what you did to one another, and we don't know the intents of the heart. There are many people that do things they really don't want to do. And sometimes they do it and regret they did it, and you don't give them a break. And they regret they did that. How many have regrets? I do. I have some regrets. God's judgment is based upon stewardship. Everyone say steward. We're teaching tonight. Say stewardship. All right, stewardship. And almost all the parables that you'll read about, he always judged them based on what kind of steward they was over the things that he placed in their hands. He judged his servants on how they treated what he entrusted them with. Whatever he entrusted them with, then that's how he judged them. Do you understand that? I know the lights went dim, but listen. Whatever he trusted them with, he judged them on how they treated what he entrusted them with. The talents, wicked servant, you didn't do anything with it. Oh, enter thou in. See, he judged them based on how they treated what he gave them. What has he done for you? What has he given you? Given you his spirit most of all, but he's given you opportunities. He's given you peace. He's given you all these things. What are you doing with the things he gave you? And he's going to judge you based upon what you do with what he gave you. Because when he comes back, he asked them, what did you do with what I gave you? And he made his judgment based upon how they treated what he gave them. We judge each other based upon how we treat each other, right? You don't treat me good, then I don't like you, right? I mean, that's how we do it. And when God places us over something, he expects us to be a good steward over what he gave us. And he will judge us harshly anytime you have the advantage over something and you abuse that advantage. He puts you in a position where you can abuse something to see what you will do. You never know what, since, you see, I never know how you'll treat me until you don't need me. Some of y'all didn't catch that. As long as you need me, I won't know really how you'll treat me. But when you don't need me anymore, I'll find out how you really treat me. And then I'll know your heart. And he puts us in these places where he gives you the advantage to see what you will do. He said, I will judge a man by how he treats his wife, because I told that wife to submit to him. And so her job in the hierarchy, if you will, of headship, she is to submit to him. And if he abuses that, God's going to judge him harshly. And the man's head is to be Christ. If a man doesn't submit to Christ, he's going to judge that man harshly. And so he even judges us, get ready for this, how you treat your beast. Old Testament, he wanted to know how you treated your donkey, how you treated your animals. And he judged them based upon that. Anytime you're over something,
Oh, put me over this, put me over. Well, James said, my brethren, there be not many masters, for they be in the greater condemnation. Anytime you're over something, you're in the greater condemnation. More is expected out of you. And God's going to judge you, and everybody else does too, because you're over it.
Thank you, brother. One master took his journey, and he left his chief servant. He left and said, you take my place while I'm gone. I'll be gone a little while. And as soon as he left, he began to beat the other servants. He began to beat them. And he said, whoa, when he heard back, he said, when I get back, I'm going to beat him with many stripes, because I put him over the people that he was over, and when I left him in authority, look what he did to them. We have to be careful, my brothers and sisters, that we don't abuse anything you become over. Amen. If God puts you over something, listen close, it's because he trusts you. Some people will never receive the favor of God, because you only give favor to people you trust. You only give favor to people that you trust. If you don't trust them, you do no favors for them. Okay? And when I begin to study this, I begin to realize that there is an inseparable bond between favor and trust. They go hand in hand. You can't have one and not have the other. And if you don't have trust, you will never have favor. Right? And Brother Buddy's here tonight. Where you at, brother? Where you got you? I'm just say this because he goes out to my hunting lease, and he does me a favor catching all those hogs out here, and he feeds all the church those hogs. That's been some good hogs we've been feeding them, huh, Brother Buddy? My mama got some of that. I tried to tell her, that's that hog we had in that pen, isn't it, that your wife cooked? She said, no, that ain't that hog he had in that pen. I said, it may be. But I let him go out on that lease. I don't charge him a penny. I don't want any money. I gave him the combination to that lot. I trust him, and because I trust him, he's got a favor. You see? Now, I wouldn't give that favor to just anybody. But I trust this man so much that if something come up missing, now listen close, if something came up missing out there, I wouldn't even think for a second he stole it. That wouldn't even cross my mind that he would have stole it. But if it comes up he did, I will change the combination to the lock. So when you lose trust, you lose favor. They go hand in hand, right? And if we want the favor of God, what can he trust you over? How high can he bring you before you abuse your authority? Oh my God, this might get good in a minute. Amen. So God puts us in situations where you have the potential to abuse the situation and take advantage of it. But God brings us into this isolation, if you will, that he might incubate you to develop you into the person he wants you to be without outside influences. That's what incubation is. How many of you have ever incubated eggs? I have. Yes, sir. And you put them in a controlled environment, right? You put them in that's what incubate you. It's a controlled environment. So you try to get a predictable outcome. And so God puts us in this predictable environment so that he can form us and make us into what we should be. Now, Brother Buddy, how long does a chicken incubate? Egg. 21 days. He got it right, exactly right. A chicken will incubate in 21 days. If it goes much longer, you might as well throw it away. But when that little chicken comes and starts to be born, you better not help it out, right? It pecks its way out. It pecks its way out. You do it, it's too early. Let that thing peck its way out. And you know, when it pecks its way out, it won't be long. It'll be chirping and eat and so forth. But if you try to unfold a rose, you will mess it up. Let it unfold on its own. And God brings us to an environment that we can put his word inside of us so that we will be ready for the challenges of the world. Amen. God brings and he puts his word inside. David said, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So he brings us to a place called church. This is about as controlled environment as you'll ever see right here. And if you don't get something out of this and I don't bring you something, we have failed to incubate you. We are bringing you to a place where you should be able sooner or later to come out of your shell and face the real world and be ready for it. Hallelujah. Amen. But if we're not careful, we never hatch
into the Christian that we will never be. You can't stay in your shell and be a Christian. I'm sorry. You cannot stay in your shell. The Bible says we are epistles written and read of all men. You got to come out of your shell for people to read it. Amen. So during this time of incubation, God puts something in our heart that establishes us in a more controlled environment so that when we leave here, I try to teach you how to go outside of the four walls into a more uncontrolled environment, and you know how to behave, and you know how to have character, and you know how to have integrity, because you should learn it from the word of the Lord. Amen. So the scripture says, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in that which is much. So if I can't trust you with a quarter, I sure can't trust you with 25,000. I can't. Because you take a quarter, you take 1,000 and think I'm not going to miss it. And so God wants to trust you. But my question tonight is, how faithful will you be in the small things so that he can give you bigger things? I have preached to y'all for almost 12 years, and I have put the same intensity when there was 3, 5, 10, whatever. When I teach Sunday school back there, if there's one, I teach just as hard with one and prepare just like I do, because if God can't trust me with the one student back there, how's he going to trust me with 100 students or 200 students or 300 students? But because he can trust me there, he can trust me here. If he can trust me here, he can trust me there. And you build the favor of God upon your life, because I know I can turn my back. That guy's going to be okay. He's going to do what's right. Amen. Faithfulness. You know, every preacher needs to preach on faithfulness, and they need to be faithful first themselves. Every preacher needs to preach to a mirror first. If you can't be it, don't preach it. Repent and do whatever you got to do, but don't preach it if you can't be it. Amen. And I'm afraid that we can't restore others unless we see it ourselves, right? The Bible says to restore another, see it as yourself. So until I can see you in my mirror too, and that's me, then I'll never restore you. That's what compassion is about. That could be me. But when we're always doing this, trying to get you to see yourself, and I don't see myself, you'll never receive anything I preach. Amen. The Bible says, now you thought I'd lost my train of thought here, but the Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his children because he's a son of his old age. Jacob had two wives, and the first wife he had more children by, but he didn't love her as much, which was Leah, as much as he did Rachel. So the firstborn of Leah's tribe, let's call it, was Reuben. And the firstborn of Rachel's tribe, which was the woman he really loved, was Joseph. And then she had Benjamin. So you'll see what happens throughout time is that these 10 tribes kind of stuck together and those two tribes stuck together. Because it was almost inevitable that if you have half brothers and half sisters and you treat one different than you do the other one, you can kind of understand, right? You can kind of understand that why they were so upset. Well, wait a minute. Because you can't hide who you love the most. I'm sorry. Those boys knew who he loved the most. You can't hide who you love and who you don't love. If you do, that's not right. And so it's almost inevitable that when he got this coat of many colors, now understand, he wasn't an infant. He was a lad. This coat of many colors didn't come when he was in the cradle. It came later, which lets me know, brother, that this young man had character. He has proven himself. Yes, he was Rachel's son, but yes, he had character. And yes, he had faithfulness. And yes, daddy could trust him. See, this is where I'm going with this. Daddy could trust him. And so he gave him this coat of many colors because he favored him. Why did he favor him? Because he trusted him. That's why he got the coat. But when his brothers saw that he had the coat and he had the favor, they hated him and couldn't say anything peaceably to him. They despised the favor. But they thought they'd take the coat and that would be the end of the favor. But I'm here to tell you, you can take Joseph's coat. Don't cry about the coat. Don't worry about the coat. Because you can take a man's coat and he can get another one. What you can't take is his character. What you can't take is his integrity. What you can't take is the values that he has inside of him. You may take the outer side things out of the outside, but you can't take what's in his heart. And if I lose it, I can get another one. Hallelujah. Character. What kind of character are you? If somebody describes you tonight, describe me tonight, how would they describe me? How would you describe me? How do those people describe you? What's it based on? Facts or fiction? A lot of things you judge people on is fiction. Something you heard that you don't even know for sure. You just heard it. And you go with it. Favor will always get you in trouble. Because there's always envious people. You ever had a teacher's pet? Sure you have. And I guarantee you that little boy that you favor, or girl, whatever it is, they were talking about that. Because you can't hide that favor. I'm sorry. What, Johnny, why don't you go dust the erasers? Because we used to love to dust the erasers. That was stupid. We always wanted to dust the erasers. That was crazy, wasn't it? But you go dust the erasers. You ask him last time. I know, because you keep cutting up. That's why. And he's over there smiling, bringing you candy and all that kind of stuff. And you trust him. And so anytime there's favor, you're going to be despised by somebody. It'd be on the job. If the boss favors you a little bit, I'm telling you, them hens will come unglued in that office. Joseph told his brothers then about his dreams. It was almost adding insult to injury. I had a dream and I had another dream. Are you trying to tell me? Oh, that was just more than they could handle. So they decided to strip him out of the coat. Let's read it. And it came to pass when Joseph was come to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat and his coat of many colors that was on him. They stripped him out of his coat, but they could not strip him out of his character. You can rob me, but you cannot really rob me. You can rob my substance, but you can't rob my peace. You can't rob my joy. You can't. Those things come from God. Hallelujah. And when he gives them to me, you can't take them. That's why Jesus said, I give you a peace that the world knows not of. People lust after your coat instead of what got you the coat. Must be nice. Look at what they drive. Look at what they have. And they don't consider what you went through to get what you got. And they lust after the coat and forgetting what you had to go through to get the coat. Your possessions, your money, whatever it is. There's always those people that must be nice people, right? I hope that's not you. Don't cry over the coat. Listen close. You're incubated in the coat, you're developed in the pit, and you're proven in the palace. You're incubated in the coat, you're developed in the pit, but you're proven in the palace. But you can't go to the palace without the pit and without the coat, without losing your coat. That's what got him there. Losing the coat got him to the palace. Don't cry about the coat. Don't cry about those little things you lose along the way. Jeremiah said it this way, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee. Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? And what he's saying here is if you can't be faithful in a controlled environment, how will you be faithful in chaos? Joseph was a sign of faithfulness in the pit, in losing the coat, and in the palace. And because of that, God favored him. Is there no one here that wants the favor of God? Raise your hand. You would be crazy to not want the favor of God. But the favor of God will only rest on those he can trust. Let's look a little further into the book of Genesis here, 37 and 24. And they took him, took his coat, and they cast him into development. They cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And then the next, in chapter 39 and 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, all the things you think would not want an Israelite, brought him into the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had
brought him down thither. So you know the story. They saw some Ishmaelites coming on. They sold him to be a slave, their own brother. And the Lord was with the coat. No, the Lord was not in the coat. Don't worry about the coat. The Lord was in Joseph. And he was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. Why? He was with him. And anything the Lord does will be prosperous. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph. He was with him too, the Egyptian as well. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And he got to thinking, Lord, that everything that boy does, I'm so glad we paid 20 pieces of silver for him. That's the best bargain I ever got. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put in his hand. Don't worry about the coat. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house, much like Obed-Edom's house when they had the Ark of the Covenant, for Joseph's sake. For whose sake? The Egyptian's sake? No, the one that had the favor. If you want favor, you want to be blessed, hang around blessed folks. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. The only thing he knew was what he had in his hand. Everything else was in Joseph's charge. Can you believe that? From the pit to being in charge of all of this, the captain. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Sometimes I hadn't got there yet. I'm working at it. And so now Joseph is in the position of proving himself. You don't prove yourself in the pit. You prove yourself when there is an opportunity to abuse the privilege. That's where you prove yourself. So now we're in this proving stage because he now can take advantage of this man because he doesn't even know what he has. That plant will never miss it. They have so much, they'll never. You want favor from God and do stuff like that? It's not going to happen. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Now, this has been the many a downfall of a man. And many a bucks got killed. Big bucks only get killed over little does. And there's been many a trophy that's going to go to hell because of this right here. And so the Lord put him in a position to take advantage of this because he trusted him. He said, I won't put more on you than bear without a what? A way of escape. Don't give me no. There's always a way to get out of it. And he refused. Thank God he refused. And said to his master's wife, behold, my master wouldeth not what is with me in his house. He doesn't know what's in his house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hands. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Didn't mean he didn't desire something, you understand? But at the same time, he knew that he had the trust of his master. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? If I sin against this man, I have sinned against God. If I blow the trust of this man, I have blown God. I will lose the favor of God. And it came to pass as he spake to Joseph, as she spake to Joseph, day by day, this is, it seems to me like there was another guy that kind of got in this bind with, she pressed him with her words, day after day. Look what happened to him. He stood up and wist not that the Lord had departed from him. The favor of the Lord left him. He had a way out. And God trusted him. But when he lost his trust, he lost his favor. Day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be. See, now we never got on that really, did we? You're not going to lie with someone unless you're with them. I will confess to you that one time, I was working in my dental office there, and we worked late that day for lunch, and I was so hungry. My assistant worked with me. She worked for me 12 years, and I told her, look, let's hurry and go across the street to Wendy's and get us something to eat real quick. And she and I went over there to eat at Wendy's. I couldn't choke that down quick enough. Say, let's get out of here. And I told my wife that I had gone over there, and I said, I will never do that again. You can't mess up unless you're with somebody. And I wasn't after her. She wasn't soliciting me. I wasn't soliciting her. But it didn't look good. It didn't look good. And so that was the end of that. He said, no, I don't even want to be with you. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there came none of the men of the house there. See, it's a setup therewith. Normally, maybe they was going to sneak away, but now there's nobody there. And you never know how you can trust anybody till you think nobody will know if I do this. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment. Don't worry about the coat. Don't worry about the coat. And he left his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand. Oh, they got the coat over them. Boys got the coat and fled and got him out. He found a way of escape. You keep the coat. I just won't get out. But she had that evidence, just like the evidence that they brought to the old man and said, look at it, this must be. And he said, oh, surely my son, a wild, ravenous beast, has taken my son. Look at the blood on this coat that I made for him. And he assumed that he was dead. Same thing happens. She's got the coat. Here comes in the master. Now you're going to change the lock, brother buddy. I guarantee you, he's changing locks on that house. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. You know the rest of the story. She tells the lie that he was the one. And the master believed it. Don't cry over the coat just because you go to the dungeon. The last time he went to the pit. Now he's going to go to the dungeon over a coat. And in the dungeon, it would be easy to think that doing right did not pay off. It would be easy to think because if I'd have done that, I probably would have got by with that and been better shape. It's easy to think when you're in the crisis, all the things you could have done, but Joseph had integrity. I'll just go to the dungeon. And in the dungeon, he helped people in the dungeon. He interpreted dreams in the dungeon. Joseph passed all the tests of trust of God and man. And for a minute, it looked like it didn't pay off. You earn your favor, my brothers and sisters, through earning people's trust. You don't earn favor, you earn trust. And when you earn trust, then favor will automatically follow. Some people never get promoted because they don't ever be trusted. And I'll tell you, I love to help people. I love to help people that need help. And from time to time, all of you do. I mean, everybody in here has helped somebody in this church. It's the most giving church I've ever seen in my life, and I appreciate that. And from time to time, you'll give somebody something. But let me just tell you how I am. If I give you something and you go hock it off, you won't get no more out of me. Right or wrong, that's the way I think the Lord is too. He took that talent from him.
I said, that's it, pal. Because I would expect you to tell me, I really don't need that. Give that to somebody who really needs it. Rather than accepting my favor and then abusing my favor. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to go hawk it off. You still want to give it to me? Well, no, I thought you needed it. Lord, have mercy. We need to be careful that we don't abuse each other's giving. I don't want to have to go get my stuff back out of a pawn shop because you abused it. And neither do I want to control you with it either. That's wrong too. You give something, you give it. So in this parable of forgiveness, and I'm hurrying, in this parable of forgiveness, the owner had a debt that a servant owed him, like 500 talents. It's this huge amount that he owed him. And the man said, be patient with me, and I will pay thee. So the owner did him a favor and rightly forgave him of all of his debt. Wow. Whew. He was fixing to lose his family, his everything. And the man goes out and finds a man who owed him a few pennies and begin to choke him and say, pay me what thou owest me. And the man said the same thing he did to the other man. He said, be patient with me and I will pay you. And he would not. Well, when it got back to the Lord, the owner, that man he rightly forgave, didn't return the favor. He called him back in and he said, you will go to the tormentors, which was a form of payment, until you have paid every mite. I'm here to tell you, God is not kind when it comes to you abusing your authority. He is not kind. He expects you to assume your authority and not abuse your authority. He expects you to use it, but to use it properly. So when Joseph fled, he refused to lie with her when perhaps he could have gotten away with it. And temporarily it looked like he had fallen out of favor. But let me tell you something. The favor of God is never short term. If we could only remember that. Because how many times you said, oh, God bless me with this. God bless me. And then something else happens and you feel like, what did I do? God's favor is never short term. It's long term. Man's favor is short term. Hey, how many of you ever had somebody call you? I need a favor from you. And they don't tell you what it is until you commit. Well, tell me. I said, well, tell me what it is first, because I don't know if I can do it or I want to do it. But as soon as you do that favor, they don't know you anymore. I'm not saying everybody, but that's the way a lot of people are. One guy, I'm telling you, every time he calls me, it's for a favor. He called me on Christmas Day. If it wasn't Christmas Day, it's Christmas Eve. And I picked up the phone and he said, hello? And I said, what do you want? And it was. He wanted something. I said, what do you want? Y'all pray for me. I need some prayer. Pharaoh had a dream while Joseph was in the dungeon. The favor is never over. And he told the one he interpreted the dream for, he said, hey, do me a favor. And when you get out there, remember me. Forgot forever almost. And finally one day when the Pharaoh had a dream, he said, oh, yeah, I remember this guy. Well, Lord, that was probably years later. And you know what they did to Joseph to get him in front of the king? I like this part. They shaved him. Gave him a haircut and shaved him. Brought him to the king. That's a whole other story right there. Genesis 41 and 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, he interpreted the dreams, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And he came out of the dungeon. Thou shalt be, oh, man. Here it goes again. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him with vestures of fine. Don't worry about the coat. He lost a coat of many colors, but now he's got a vesture, a wardrobe of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. I don't worry about how the thing starts. Worry about how it ends. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him rule over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land. Your brothers won't even get to you, pal. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. His own father didn't protect him like Pharaoh's protecting him. Let me tell you something about this incubation. You have your children in your hands in a controlled environment. That's the incubation period for your children. It's time that you, if you can't trust your children, your own household, steal your quarters, you shame on you. Shame on you. You're not raising them like you need to raise them. You need to talk to the Lord on how to discipline these kids. This is your opportunity to save their soul. You train them up in the way they should go. It's a controlled environment. Joseph was raised by a godly father. Made some mistakes, yes. But he came out of that situation he was in to be almost like Christ. Listen close, I get really close. And the character of Joseph is proven in the end when he could have taken advantage of his brothers and he didn't. When he could have said, this is the guys, Mr. Pharaoh, that did me wrong. You got a prison. We're going to put them in the dungeon. They threw me in the pit, and I've been mourning about it ever since. But he didn't do that. And when he could have taken advantage of them, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Woo, hallelujah. God trusted him all the way to the end. My Lord, Joseph's level of love was like that of Christ. He wept for those that abused him. He loved those that abused him. He showed favor to those that abused him. God, help us tonight. Help us tonight. To not just love our four and no more. They spit in Christ's face, and he still said, forgive them, they know not what they do. Don't worry about the what? The coat. I told my wife today, with her brother, days numbered, I said, you see there? When it gets to this point, money won't matter. Cars won't matter. House won't matter. Your worrying won't be on your stuff. It's going to be in your life. For the Bible says a man would give all that he had to live. And that's what Job tried. That's what Satan tried Job on. He said, you do everything but take his life because a man would give everything he's got to live. Hallelujah. Did I teach you anything tonight? Hallelujah. Walk out of here with character, integrity. And that's what saved Job in the end, wasn't it? He said, I'm walking in my integrity. And God gave him favor and returned everything Job lost two times. He got double for his trouble. The favor of God is long-term. So when you find yourself in dilemmas and situations that you don't understand and you feel like you're in the pits and you feel like forsaken God, let me tell you, he knows right where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you enjoyed a little teaching tonight. God bless you. I'm going to let you stand and we're going to be dismissed and I want you to be careful going home. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to come here tonight and hear your word. We ask that you help the word of the Lord change us. For Lord, truly it is only your word that changes us into the image of your Son. We ask you to be with us tonight. Keep us safe on the road. And we ask you, Lord, to take control of every situation in this church. And let us realize, everybody in here realize, that help is on the way. In Jesus' name, amen.